Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is one of your hosts. And tonight, we should have an interesting discussion. Oh, because men, it's your journey. You must own it. And originally, we were going to start out with, we were selected. And now, that has changed. And the reason it's changed, it was put in my spirit to speak a word on behalf of us African-American men living in America, vis-a-vis stereotypes. And that came to me whenever I was looking through the channel and I saw the election, Georgia election. And one of the things that I saw is simple. The Republican Party, and I want you to know, I am not partisan. I want you to listen. You just listen. The Republican Party selected someone that, and I'm being nice about this, that I would not have selected to represent anything, much less to be on the highest next to the presidency and Supreme Court to represent the highest member of government. And I felt in my spirit that that needs to be addressed. So everybody who's listening, they will, who are outside of the boundaries of the United States, that they will recognize that the stereotypes of non-white people, especially males, is alive and well. See, my co-host is on. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yes. The election down there, you have two options. If you want to look at it from a spiritual perspective, you look at one man that's a spiritual leader that's been called out from among the people and chosen to be God's representative to the community. And here, on the other hand, you have an individual who is steeped in worldliness. And whenever you line up his fruits with the scripture, not the Bible, not the interpretation of the Bible, there can be a distinction made if one chooses to, because whenever it was first written, it wasn't called a Bible. They were called scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we look at what the scripture says, there is just as much different in the two individuals as night and day, as good and evil. Whenever you look at it just, let's just take one thing and play with it. Truth. And I know you out there gonna jump up and down and swear and cuss and stomp and say the Democrat is just as bad as Republican in our politician lives. But the Democrats are not lying, and I'm neither. The Democrat is not lying and rubbing it in your face. The Republican candidate lies and rubbing it in your face and tell you, and those who are supporting him was running around telling him, yeah, he's an imperfect candidate. Yeah, the Democrat Party candidate is imperfect as well. But whenever you look at who selected that individual, he's a spitting image of stereotypes of the fruit. You can't tell that much difference between the fruits of the person that's running and the person that selected him. And, you know, we have to begin to call this stuff out. And if we don't call it out, why should God be concerned about it? Evidently, the people enjoy. I was embarrassed by Herschel Walker. I'm still embarrassed. And I tell my children, my grandchildren and children, that he doesn't represent me. He fits the stereotype that I grew up with in the South. And the other thing people need to sit down and think about, the Bible Belt. That's why the Spirit gave me, told me to make a distinction between Bible and Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
We say that the South is the Bible Belt. Well, what they have done in the South has more been a representation of Lucifer or Satan or the devil than Jesus or God, Elohim, the Creator. Whenever we sit back, we need to sit back because we're going to be held accountable. The divine spirit, Elohim, is going to hold us accountable for sitting back and being quiet. For them to put that man up there, that is an insult to my intelligence, and tell me that I should vote for him anyway. Whenever we look at all of this, whether he win or lose is irrelevant as far as I'm concerned. But it reminds me of something that I read. This pastor, this preacher, this during the Holocaust, and I may have it a little off because I'm doing it from the top of my head. I think it was Bonhoeffer. I think that was his name. He was German, and during the Hitler era, and he said that when they came for the, well, he made three comparisons. When they came for one, they didn't say nothing. They came for the second one, and these were the Germans, the SS. They didn't say anything. Now they coming, they will be coming for him, and I'm just paraphrasing this now. And there's nobody there to say anything on his behalf. What I am saying is that if we remain silent, the same stereotypes that was out there, they are being instilled in the children. Children learn what they see. yeah. what they see. They, the children, didn't come here with all this knowledge and all this racism and all this division and all of this stuff. That's learned behavior.
Yeah.
So now, if we sit around, we who people, males of color, and even the females of color, if we sit around and don't make corrections to, don't call the society and hold them accountable for putting up a representative that looks like him. Whenever I first saw the young man, yeah, he played football. Yeah, that was during my time. He was a great football player. Yeah. But he reminded me of somebody who got a mental health issue.
Mm-hmm.
He was a running back. He probably got all kinds of brain injuries. Why would they put somebody like that to run him to represent me in the Senate of the United States of America? What would my son or daughter think? Oh, it's okay. And here, I got a degree. I got a college degree in advanced class, advanced studies. And whenever you start looking at all of this, here's a man who he took when I was coming up, and he was playing football around the time I was coming up. No, I might have been out of college then. They had classes. They had basket weaving concentration because he could play football, and I'm sure that's what he was in that. And the young man, and he's not a young man anymore, he didn't learn anything. But he knew how to play football. Whenever they, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, whenever there was a black person who was a good athlete, the white schools chopped them up, gave them money, came in and sat down with the parents and told what a great opportunity it would be if their son would come to their college, and they didn't graduate because they had them focusing on sports.
Yes.
Now, my grandson had scholarship in Georgia, scholarship in Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, and that county out there right outside of Georgia, Atlanta, was where he would have been. And he had an offer in Ohio, Illinois, and Asheville, North Carolina. But he chose to go to a school where he could get an education. His criteria was academic. Now, he could have been a Herschel Walker, gone to one of those schools and walked out with a degree from that school in basket weaving. And
that's
it wouldn't
right.
have been worth the paper. It wouldn't have been worth anything. His knowledge base, he would not have the knowledge that he needed to be a productive member of society. You listen to this man. All you have to do is listen to him. He you can tell. He's illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said it. He is illiterate compared, even just compared to me, and I'm 77. He's illiterate. If you compare Walker and Walnut, there's no comparison. How is Walker going to get into the Senate and going to have a debate about a bill? He can't. He doesn't have it. He gonna be doing what they tell him to do. He gonna be voting on what they tell him to vote on.
That's right.
Now, if people of color in Georgia want to settle for that, then they deserve what they get. Now, if people outside of the state of Georgia of color are not upset, then we deserve what we get. We're not speaking out, and I admit that this is a little late, but my ancestors always said better late than never.
That's right.
The whole thing is we need to step up. It's my journey. I'm a African-American male. I am, according to the DNA, I am 98% West African. Nigeria, Mali, Cameroon, and a few other countries there. European, it was 2% of last time I looked at it. All I'm saying is, he, whenever I say he, I'm talking about Walker. I've challenged anybody to sit down and look at it and line those two up and look at the fruits. Look at their fruits. And then you tell me who's the best candidate. If you look at it from a moral perspective, who is the moral candidate? Who? I'm not going to lay it out. It's already in the press what this man has done and what this man does. And he is a reflection of the one that selected him. He's a reflection of the one who sponsored him. And here's a man that lives in Texas but running for senator in Georgia. I mean, we're going to be left behind again, and who are we going to blame? Nobody but ourselves.
That's right. You know, Bishop, the thing is, we look at the situation like that, and, you know, they got all kind of series on TV now about, you know, they got black people playing in different series of the leaders of the world, things like that anymore. And it seems to me that one of those situations, they just got somebody they want to put in a position to play a role that is not qualified for it. You know, and I like you said, I look at him and I look like, to me, he looks like that he's not really capable of carrying the load, because he looks like there's a problem there. Like you said, as many times as he's had concussions and head injuries and things like that, it still looks like that it has an effect on him when he talks, and you listen to him and you look at him, his reaction toward things. And when I heard about him running, I said, well, this must be a joke. You know, I didn't think it was a serious thing until it came about. And me, I just stopped looking at it, because I never thought that he was qualified to even run for a position because of his state of mind and reactions and things like that. Like you said, you can tell by the way he talks that he's just been led into something to play a role, because they don't have anyone outside of that. And like you said, neither candidate really anymore. They're just throwing people in a position, pushing them and building them up, making them feel like they're more than they is. And that's one of these cases where he's been pushed to feel as more as he is. And anymore, our government, our Senate, and everybody that they seem to have running for some kind of seat anymore is nothing but a joke, because a whole lot of them is not qualified. And you listen to the lies and you go back and, you, like you said, they believe in this mess. And how can you say I'm a Christian and you look back on some of these situations and the things that they're telling and talking, you can agree with it? You can't agree with some of these things that they're saying if you are living by the will and the word of God, because, like you said, you're falling right into the situation of the lives and the circumstances that these people are living in, the position that they're trying to get in. And I just don't believe it, because I've seen enough of it. When the last president, a lot of the people that said, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, and everything, and all of the lies that was carried out and the things that happened, they were some first ones to jump up against what was true and believed in many lies and backed up many lies and everything. So it let me see that there's a lot of people, as you say, that call themselves Christians, but not living the Christian life and walking the Christian journey and living in the way that the Word of God teaches us and the Holy Spirit leads us to live. And I've had a lot of friends. Go ahead, Bishop.
Now, I would say you're absolutely correct. And what that leads one to believe, based on what comes out of one's mouth, is what's in their heart. And if what's in their heart is what comes out of their mouth, and
that's right,
what's coming out is not of God. And
that's
one
right,
that leads one to look at it and say, evidently they enter idolatry. If they're saying that their God accepts their behavior, that what comes out, what's in their heart, then they're into idolatry. They are following an interpretation, not the script, not what the scripture says itself. Where's the Holy Spirit? They don't know the Holy Spirit, because if they did, the Holy Spirit would convict them and they would make a change. But
so
that's
true.
Not happening.
It's not. No, it's not. Evil is leading them all the way, leave alive.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is, years when I was a little kid, my prophets, I prayed and asked God to make me a prophet. Well, you know, now I don't really want to be a prophet, because I don't see anything positive, Holly, that's coming out of the mouths of any of these people that's a member of the dominant group. They are pitiful, really pitiful. Like,
true,
if you look at the house, and I said years ago that Rush Limbaugh and Fox News and all of them, they are dumbing down America. Well, that was partially true. They dumbed down those people who were part of the Republican Party, because they listened to Rush Limbaugh. They listened to Sean Hannity. They listened to Tucker Carlson. And they thought that what they said was gospel.
That's right.
And now look who they vote for. And if you got a man that was president, and now he says it's all right to do away with the Constitution, at least those parts of the Constitution that would have kept him into power. something's wrong. And you, then they tell me that the Constitution, and I'm saying this, and all of you who are part of the Masonic Order, who is a 32nd degree, y'all need to be embarrassed at that man when he made that statement, because there is no way anybody could respond to them, because the Constitution is the backbone or the foundation of this nation that we live in. Imperfect. The Constitution is imperfect. It's an imperfect document, and we are imperfect people striving to reach a state of perfection. And I mean, it's sad. America is sad. If you look at that on the movie that had the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, and I'm not sure if it was on public broadcasting, if you just watch that movie, I think it was a series. If it comes back on and you get a chance to see it, you will see America in history. At some of the same things that the Romans and what happened to them is happening right here. Right here. And we then step up to the plate.
Yeah, the sad part about it, we look at all of these people and they say, well, I think this would be a good candidate for this or that. I've sat there and I've watched some of the people sitting in the seats talking about they was Christian people. You might have one or two that might disagree with something that was supposed to be a Christian, but you have many other ones fighting against it that's supposed to be the Christian person. And when you get Christians fighting against one another, you know, where is the Holy Spirit involved in any of it? Because, you know, we're supposed to be Christ-like. If you're not showing a Christ-like version of yourself with Christ living within you, when you're sitting there and you can't come together and have a decent conversation without getting into it with one another, and you say, well, I'm living for the Lord, and the other one says, well, I'm living for the Lord too, but you're bumping heads every time you turn around and can't come to a agreement in any kind of way. And then you believe in a lie that comes before. You got one that believes a lie. One says, well, just because I'm here and I'm a part of it, I'll go ahead and I'll go along with it. Well, you just as bad as the one that believed the lie because you went along with it, knowing it was a lie.
Now, that's true. That's true.
And it's sad when you know that something's a lie and you don't speak up for it and you let it go because you outvoted. It don't make a difference if you outvoted by anyone. If you're a child of the Lord, you speak your peace and you leave it alone and pray and put it in the Lord's hands and you let it go. You don't fuss, argue, and fight over it. He said that he would fight our battles for us. The battle's not ours. If you put more into his hands and just pray about it, instead of bickering and arguing and all of that over it, you might see some change in people when self out of the way and be led by the Spirit of God and let him lead the way. But we don't have enough for that. We don't have enough to stand up for it. That's the problem. And then if you do have anybody that stands up for it, they put them down so bad that they go ahead, like I said, and they agree and go ahead and just to fall in place, knowing that they're wrong. And it just don't make any sense to me. Our government, God set up government the way that government should be. And if back then Pharisees, the way that they wanted to run things their way, if it's not my way, it's the wrong way, you know, we're going to make up the law, we're going to use the law, we're going to run the law. Whatever we say, that's the way it's going to be, even though they were supposed to be the ones that know the right from wrong. And we're still living in that world today, the ones that know the right from wrong, still using their power and authority to do what they want to do against the people. And where do we find the people that truly and really wants to live according to the will of God and the word of God to lead the United States? We can't find enough people willing to live by the word of God, pray enough. Everything that man touches has been bad. They don't want to do anything good anymore. And they change things for their way, and it don't matter about anybody else. And nobody, like you said, nobody's holding them accountable for it. They're letting it ride, letting it go. And like you said, putting these stupid people like Herschel Walker in a position to want to be something. I mean, I can't see it. I mean, he might be good for a sideline coach or something like that, but this right here is they trying to make him look good and push him into something that he's not in position for. And he's falling right in the line for it.
Yeah, it's like we, now I'm getting so old that I tell people I'm a follower of the teaching of Jesus. I'm making a distinction so that people understand. You judge me by what the word says, not by somebody's interpretation of the word.
Right.
What did Jesus say? I mean, that was this big movement years ago in the 90s. What would Jesus say? We had this bracelet and all of this stuff, and it was on pencils and pens. And I guess we forgot that. Guess we forgot what Jesus said. Jesus said you love your neighbor. Jesus didn't say you have a red state and a blue state.
That's right.
It was the people within those states, they are at each other's throat. So where is the love? I mean, we have to begin to think about all this stuff differently than we have before. I'm not one of those that jump up and down saying the end is here and the end. People have been saying it's ended ever since Jesus left. But what is going to be the end? It's the end of an era. You look at it. I just knew that whenever people in my age and older than me died out, that we would have harmony among the races. Because I saw, growing up in the South, the supposedly Bible Belt, I saw how people treated each other, how the dominant group treated the minority groups, and what they did, and how they claimed that they were godly people. And I'll be honest with you, I would sit up in church, and I said, we got two gods. We got a God for white people, and we got a God for non-white people. And that was based on the way that white people, who remember the dominant group, treated the minority group. Remember?
That's right.
But yet, on Sunday morning, they're packing the church. And I used to ask myself the question, what are they learning? they can't be learning what we're learning. We're learning that God holds us accountable. Elohim, Yahweh, I Am, Adonai. They hold accountable for our behavior, for our thoughts, for our actions. So I guess what I'm saying is, even as a, our problems in at that point in time, our problems in middle school, what we call middle school. We didn't have middle school when I was coming up. We had elementary and high school.
Right.
It would probably be, I was in middle school back then. But I look at it, ain't too much change. Ain't too much change. And
It seems like things is getting back to the point since the last president stepped in. You see everything that opened up, you know, Ku Klux Klansmen started to show their face again, and white supremacists came out hard and heavy on things, doing the things that they wanted to do freely. And it was welcome for them to do that. And then they started, you know, all of the, you started seeing more of the young black men. It didn't matter whether they gave up or not. They was either beat or killed anyway. And it let us know that things like that. And then they had a few that was hangings that had happened down in Alabama and other places. Right in the front yard of where the young man lived, and they all of that out, never talked about it, and said anything about it, and nobody never did anything about it. So it just make you feel like they still felt like they had the authority to do whatever they wanted to do and whatever way they wanted to do, the same way they did back then. They just tried to find a easier way to do it through the police, the higher authorities, and things like that to cover it up and still do what they did then. So our people still suffers, and we want them young men to know they love Jesus died for them the same way he died for the young whites. He loves them the same way he loved the young whites. He given them an opportunity of salvation the same way that he gave the young whites salvation. They're not left out of anything. Sometimes it may seem if we don't have any other way out, but if they just stop and think about the situation at hand that's offered to them. Christ died for all, not one side or one race or one color or whatever the situation may be. He made it possible for us all to have an opportunity at eternal life. Like the Bible says, we don't worry about what man can do to this body. The thing is, we're living for Christ. That soul, he can't do nothing with. And if we live the way that the Word of God is leading us to live, and these young men will step up, like you said, a journey. Take hold to your journey, your responsibility, and do what's right. And every day is not going to be a good day. But I guarantee you every day is not going to be a bad day. And with Christ in your life, it will make a difference. It's hard to get by sometimes, but when you've got somebody to talk to in Christ, it makes a difference.
Yes,
you have a lot of people that's looking down on you. And you know, I look at the situation. I did the things that I did. I did my drugs, the women, the things around and about. that every young man, not every young man, I can't say everyone, because everyone don't step mm-hmm. into that situation. But some,
right.
they live away from it. But we have right. some that does. And we have some mm-hmm. looking for a way out. If you got one mm-hmm. that's leading, and you get around that one that's leading, he can pull you away from things out into the world, into something better. You have to make sure that you pay attention to your surroundings in this world. The people you hang with can bring you down, and they'll try to hold you down if they can
mm-hmm.
for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think and take steps towards your journey. You say, I want better. It's up to you, though, if you want to do better. You take that step, and then some say, well, I can't do no better. I take after my daddy. He was like that and this and that, and it just rubbed off on me. No, you got to stop and look at that
no,
situation.
That's
you're
right.
Living your
absolutely
life.
Right.
Your daddy's not living mm-hmm. your life. You have to make the choice of the change in life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't make the change in life and you keep playing the blame game on somebody else, then you'll never change. You'll never want to change. Nobody's holding
true.
You back. But you hold yourself back. You got to get self out of the way, because there's always a better way, and Christ is it. And you take it one step at a time. Everything don't come overnight. One step at a time. You got a lot of these. And I've seen it many a time. These policemen, they arrest young blacks with drugs and things like that. They get a little bit of the money, then they put them right back out on the street again. They do the same thing over again, and they don't learn from it. Make a little bit more money, they arrest them again when they get tired of it. Get a little more money out of them. And then it comes to a point when they get tired of it, they put them away for I don't know how many years. And then you get a young white boy with the same thing, and he'll get half less of the time than that young black man will for the same crime, same situation. We have to look at these things and realize you're only setting yourself up for a downfall. Because they still don't care nothing about you. You got some that do. You got some good white people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got some bad. You got some good
mm-hmm.
black people. You got some bad.
Mm-hmm. You got some bad.
You have
that's
to
right.
realize the good and the bad in somebody and see that and figure out which way you want to go. Because if you go with the wrong ones, it's a downfall, and it's hard to pull yourself back up once they get your name in the system.
Yeah. Yeah, once you're in the system, you can about forget it, because
yeah.
they're going to throw everything at you.
Everything.
Yep. They're going
to look back at you and say, well, hey, I see that you this, I see that you that, so we won't be able to do nothing for you right now. You come back later on and we'll see how things is. And you'll find your life just drifting away. And see, they got it set up for this situation for them, and they don't understand. You know, we want to reach out and give you a word of encouragement that can help you if you accept it. Because we done been through something in life. We've been seeing how things work in life. We're still going through, but we mm-hmm. have help on the other side in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to lead us in the right way. And that's the reason why we do what we do on the program, because we are led by the Holy Spirit to try to reach somebody in some way that may help them to take heed of the things that's going on out there now. The world's getting worse and worse. You would think it would be getting better and better the way that we done went through things in the past. But when you look at people's evil, they don't care who they hurt, whether it be children, whether it be women, whether it be men, old people. It's like that little young guy. He wasn't nothing but a teenager and wanted to rape an 80-something-year-old woman. Now, what are you going to do in a situation like that to rape an 80-something-year-old if you're that desperate and that messed up to get yourself in a situation like that to get caught and to do something that bad?
Yeah.
Well, you deserve what you get. You know,
that's true.
Why would you be out here with your mind on something like that anyway for a woman that old? They're gonna throw the book at you.
Mm-hmm.
You got.
And then when you go to prison, they're gonna that behavior
buddy.
And that you're gonna be subjected to.
That's right.
You're gonna wish many a day that you had never did what you did.
And that's right. There's gonna be a change on you now. So, you know, it don't make no sense. We love our young men. We try to teach them respect and honor. And let them see that, you know, what does it take to come in and see somebody and hold a door open for them? Yes, sir. No, ma'am. How are you today? Hope you have a blessed day and everything. And just have a heart of change and just show the good side of things in you. I mean, the word lets us know everybody got a little something good in them. Bring that good out of them. Let them use that good for something positive.
Yeah. Now, one other thing. I want to make this statement. So everybody who's listening, you're clear. We are not here to speak negative about anybody. We are called, and we are looking at people's behavior, their attitude. We're not judging people. We are calling it by the fruits. What?
Yeah.
The fruits. And we are lining up. Anything that we say on this program that doesn't line up with the scriptures.
Yes.
Email address, talkingdrums12@gmail.com. talkingdrums12@gmail.com. Send us an email, and we will respond so long as it is reality-based. We don't deal in conspiracy theory. We don't deal in that. We don't deal in I think, I feel. We state what our experience has been, and we apply the word to our situation and circumstances. Sometimes we go through it. We act just like everybody else, but once we get past that and we look back and we see how we got through that.
Yes.
And I want to say, I am a retired United Methodist pastor. I was in one of the largest white churches in one of the conferences. My thing, God put me in that to provide spiritual guidance and direction for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not being judgmental. I spoke the word according to scripture and according to the Holy Spirit. And there was plenty of people there. We had three services on Sunday morning. Three. Because we had 800 and some people in worship service total. Only thing I'm saying, y'all who are non-African-American, who are non-people of color, we are not judging you harshly. We are not just being evil and speaking negative on you or at you. As the co-host has stated, God, through his son, Jesus the Christ, reconciled us back to him. So we all have the same road to salvation, provided we follow the teaching. And as I said earlier, one way that we can make sure that we are on target, if we just simply follow the teaching of Jesus, following the teaching, what did the word say? What did God's word say about this situation? Whenever you get ready to make a decision, what does the word say about the situation that I'm facing?
Mm-hmm.
And I found for me that worked, and that has opened doors that I didn't even see. Only thing that we are saying on this program, yes, we are speaking to men of color because we see what's happening to them and what they are doing to themselves. We've been there, we've done that, and we were rescued. We was called out of that. So we could sit with you and not be judgmental. So we could sit with you and be your spiritual guide. Now, all I'm saying again, the email address is talkingdrums12@gmail.com. And the mics are open, so if anyone got in a comment or in a question, this is your time. As we said in the street, eight ball in the side pocket, your shot, please. Okay.
Anyone?
Yeah, we will keep it moving.
You know, I never look at it.
Go ahead.
As when we do this program, I never look at it as judging anyone. And I've told many people outside of, you know, the people I worked with and things, like you said. The Bible said we could be a fruit inspector. We only speak that we see. We don't judge it because it's not our place to judge that. We leave that to God. But if we see something, we just speak and react on what we see, how things is going. And I've had a lot of people tell me when I tell them something, they said, well, there you go, you judging. I said, no, I'm not judging. I said, you saying what I'm saying, telling you is not true, what's going on? And they said, yeah, but you judging. Well, if I'm telling you just what I see, I'm not judging you about anything. I'm just letting you know the fact of what I see in you and what you're doing. And you're complaining about something. Why complain if you're going to put yourself in the position? You know, there's no complaint about something, and you're doing it, and I see you doing it, and then when I speak on it, I'm judging you. I never judge a person. I've told many of people that I know that get high and do the things they do. I don't judge that person because of what they did, because I know how my life was when I was out into the world doing the things that I did, all I can tell you is how I was rescued from it and how the Lord changed my life from that situation for the better. I'm not going to put you down. You can be drunk till you can't walk. I'm my best to help you get to where you're going and everything. I had a cousin. He's passed now. He used to come down. He'd tell me, "Cuz, I need you to take me to the..." No, he'd ask me to borrow $5 or so, and he'd use it for the excuse he was hungry. And he come down one night, and me and the wife was here, and he said, "Cuz," he said, "man," he said, "I ain't got nothing to eat," said, "I'm hungry." And I told him, I said, "Well, man, hold up a second." I said, "We haven't been to the store, and I ain't got no sandwich meat or nothing." I said, "I'll tell you what," I said, "let me get my shoes on." And I come out to the car, we got in, and we were going out the road there, and he asked me, he said, "Cuz, where you going?" I said, "You said you was hungry, didn't you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You can just give me the money." He said, "I could, you know, get me something to eat." I told him, I said, "Well," I said, "if you're hungry, man, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to get you something to eat." And I took them all away, and they had a special on 2 hamburgers, a drink, and fries. I went and bought that, and we was on our way back home, and he started laughing. He said, "Cuz, you know what?" He said, "That's why I love you." And I said, "What you mean?" He said, "You knew what I was going to do with that money, didn't you?" I said, "Well, hey," I said, "when a person knows, you know, the best thing to do is instead of giving the money when you know what the deal is. If a man's hungry, you feed him." And he ended up changing his life, got in church, was ushering and everything. And I said, I loved him when he was out there drinking and drunk, and I loved him when God changed his life before he passed. So he knew the situation, and he always come to me because he know that I would always do something for him. So I couldn't put him down because he come drinking, getting on there. "You know better, man. Why you like that every time I see you and all this and that?" No, you can't do that. When a person is down, you can't knock them down farther. Try to lift them up. Try to give them positive to make them feel better. You know, it's not about knocking nobody down. It's not about bashing somebody for the that they do. Love them, pray for
them. It's just like, it's just like Peter. Peter told Jesus he wanted to walk on the water. He told Jesus, "Bid me to come to you." Jesus said, Peter out there, Peter, he had to be African-American, still band of color. I can just see him now just stroking. He was and all of a sudden, he said, "I don't need Jesus. I got this. I got it." That's right. And Jesus, what did Jesus do? Jesus just reached his hand out, and that's right, and told him what his problem was. "Ye have no faith." But he told him in a way that he knew what the solution was. The solution is faith, his faith. That's what he had to work on. So
keep your focus.
It's interesting how we go around browbeating people, telling people how you're going to die and go to hell, how you're going to be down there in the fire and brimstone. I ain't want to hear that mess when I was out there. If I saw you coming, I went the opposite direction. And
did it many a time.
And then I looked at you and said, you're going to be down. I didn't say it out loud. So you're going to be down there with me.
That's right.
I just went on. And, the thing about it is that we need to read the word for ourselves. And once we read the word for ourselves, then we understand that our decision that we make is what's going to put us there whenever judgment day comes. Because every decision that you make is judgment day.
That's right.
Well, our time is about up. Do you want to pray us out?
Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, just once again, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this program that you have given us, dear God. We just pray, Lord, and hope that we've reached somebody to have an open ear, Lord, understanding of something that's been said, Lord, to take heed to it, to just go ahead, Lord, and want to change their lives. Because, Lord, we know you're able to reach somebody. And, Lord, we're just trying to do your will and just try to just share as much of the good word as we can, dear God. We ask that you continue to bless each and every listener. We bless each and every one that was online. Continue to just bless the callers, dear God. And help us through this night, dear God, to just do and meditate on you and keep our focus, dear God, because sometimes our faith get down a little bit, Lord. But we ask you to strengthen our faith, Lord, and just continue to strengthen us in the areas that we need strengthening, dear Lord. Continue to touch our bodies for the pains that we go through and continue to touch our families, Lord, and bless them in a way, Lord, that we can just continue to be the man that we should be, dear Lord. Because it's all about the men living their journey, taking control of their life, doing the things that they should do right before God, and just living the life that God has given us before and through his son, Jesus Christ, to do his will. And, Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Praise.
All right, sir.
All right, shalom to everyone.
Until next week, shalom.
Yes, sir.